Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. And those are three of our staff members there. Two of them are teachers, and we are thankful for all of them as they serve. Take your Bibles, please, this morning, and we will go to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7, in just a moment, we will begin in verse number 21. I want to do something that I have tried to do periodically and often with preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night. Today, I want to preach in Matthew chapter 7, and tonight, I want to preach in Matthew chapter 7. So I want to encourage you to be a part of the entire message. And of course, we have our service tonight at 6 o'clock. I trust that you can be here. We all know something about storms. In fact, if you are used to getting ready for storms, I know when I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, when the weatherman said snow was coming, it was a lot different in Tennessee than it is around here, maybe to some degree. My mom would take us to the store, and we always got bread, milk, and eggs. Now, I don't know why we got those three things. And we hardly drank any or eat any of those things during the snowstorm, you know. But we always did that. I have seen around here, even when they call for a lot of snow, boy, people want to rush and get things. There's nothing wrong with preparing for a storm. Storms of life will come to each and every one of us. That's always interesting to me about the South. And of course, I'm from the South. My wife's from Georgia and I'm from Tennessee. I know the Stevensons just got back from North Carolina. But I read this really happened in Charlotte, North Carolina. In fact, they were going to have snow. Now, the thing about Southern people is they don't know how to drive on the snow. They just don't. And I'm from the South, so I can attest to that. I've lived in the Midwest long enough to where hopefully I've got it figured out just a little bit. But a weatherman was giving the weather, and he was talking about, hey, snow is coming. And then he said, and they put it right up on the screen. He said, if you're not used to driving in the snow, and if this is rare for you, let me give you the perfect illustration on how to drive in the snow. The weatherman did this in Charlotte, North Carolina, right on live news. He said, just pretend that you are taking your grandma to church. Now, think of that in your mind. And in the car, in the back seat of the car, there's a platter of biscuits. There are 2 gallons of sweet tea that are in jars in the back seat. So keep that in your mind. And also, your grandma is wearing a brand new dress, and she's holding a crock pot full of gravy, all right? And so, that's what the weatherman said. And I don't know if that helped anybody whatsoever, but at least they could understand what he was talking about, all right? In the South, gravy, I mean, that's just a part of life, you know? And it's kind of like grits. How many here has never had grits? Would you raise your hand? Anybody here not had grits? Some of you, all right? Now, grits in the South, you know, I heard about a man who went to a restaurant in the South. He'd never been to a restaurant in Atlanta, Georgia. And the person brought him something. He had no idea what it was on his plate. He did not order it. And he said, ma'am, this here on my plate, what is that? And she said, sir, that's grits. He said, I didn't order it. He said, sir, you're in the South. You don't ask for it. You don't order it. You just get it, you know? And so that's a little bit like what grits are. Well, we understand that storms come. Storms, physical storms come. We understand. We prepare for that. It might be that you make all kinds of different preparation for things. We hear it on the news and high winds are coming. Anything that is loose outside, make sure that it's, you know, secure. But there are storms of life that will come to each and every one of us. You cannot escape the storms of life as much as you cannot escape the storms of different seasons. We all will face storms. We will face testings in our life. You cannot avoid them. And in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus gives us a parable. Now, the parable is a story that is cast alongside of a significant truth for us to understand. And this morning, I want to preach on this subject. Where are you building your house? Where are you building your house? Do you know something? Every one of us this morning, we are building our lives in one shape or form. We are building every single day. We build by the decisions that we make. We build by the choices that we choose. We build by what we allow into our eye gate and what we allow into our ear gate. You are building this morning by coming to the house of the Lord. You're building on a good foundation. You're building every day that you read the Bible. You're building every day that you are praying. You are building every day that you choose to follow Christ and you choose to live for the Lord Jesus in all the areas of your life. But can I tell you this? You're building when you don't come to church. You're building when you do not pray. You're building when you neglect the Word of God. You are building when you choose to give in to temptation and in to sin. You are building. You're building by the books you read. You're building by the music that you listen to. You see, every one of us, we are building. And the question that I have to you this morning is, where are you building your house? We come to Matthew chapter 7, and the very emphasis of this chapter is on the foundation that you are building. Now, we built this building. We thank the Lord we got this building paid off. Isn't that a blessing? I'm so thankful to be debt-free as a church. We built that building out there. And you know something? I remember I was so excited about that. And I remember what it was. We had blueprints and we had all this. Well, the company came out, Link Construction, and they began to build. But it took a long time before you saw anything significant. You know why? Because they were working on the foundation. They brought in dirt. They brought in gravel. And they brought in rebar. They brought in and they began to lay the block. And they began to pour the concrete. They did all of these things. And you walked out there and you're like, there's nothing much here. We can't hold Sunday school here. We can't have any potlucks here yet. We can't do anything because they were working on the foundation. The foundation is the most important part of a building, but brethren, the foundation of your life is the most important part of your life. And this morning, where are you building your house? We come to Matthew chapter 7. Let's begin in verse number 21, if you would please. And notice here, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and let us notice the person who is speaking. Matthew 7:21, the Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, before we read on, we do know the Bible clearly tells us that there is coming a day when all of us will stand before God. And brethren, I believe that there will be people who went to church, people that did good things in the church and for the church. And the Bible says there will be even preachers that prophesied in His name that will stand there. And the Lord Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now, it doesn't say that He knew them and then somehow they lost their salvation. No, He said, "I never knew you." Brethren, we need to make sure that we have not put our faith in what we have done or what we are trying to do to try to earn our salvation. But our faith must be on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Brethren, it is not me trying to obtain my way to heaven. It is not through the waters of baptism. It is not through church attendance or church membership. It is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that anyone can go to heaven when they die. And we must understand that. And Jesus is saying here, there will be many people in that day to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, did we not do many wonderful works?" And Jesus will look at them and say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." Do you know something? We have a church this size. I believe there are people that come to our church every Sunday. They do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have not turned to the Lord and put their dependence on Christ. And brethren, I want you to know this morning that God in heaven wants you to be saved, for you to look to Jesus Christ, and He will save you from your sin. Let us understand today that it is not about the works that we do, it is about trusting His finished work on the cross. Now, Christ is saying this, and then He leads in to this next point. Let's look at it. We come now to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now, please understand, we see in our lesson here today that there are those who hear and they obey. And there are those who hear and they do not obey. And Jesus said those who hear and obey, they hear and do, are building their lives on a solid foundation, the foundation on a rock. But those who hear and do not obey, they are building their lives on a foundation of sand. And the Bible says, this house on the rock, it will not fall. But the house on the sand, it will fall. This morning, where are you building your house? Now, brethren, the fact that you are a Christian this morning, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you are a part of the family of God. I was saved at the age of 17 when I recognized that I was a sinner in need of a Savior and that I could not save myself. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. I even went to a Christian school, but I did not know Christ as my Savior. I thought that I was good enough to go to heaven. But when I recognized that I was a sinner and that I could not save myself and that Jesus died for me, I remember that Sunday morning when I walked that old-fashioned aisle and I got on my knees and I humbled myself before God and confessed that I was a sinner and I asked Jesus to save me. That morning, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me and He brought me into the family of God. Now, I'm not perfect. I need to grow much in my Christian life. I am still building my house and I'm trying to build it on the right foundation. But I know that I'm a Christian. Now, brethren, just because I'm a Christian does not mean that I'm exempt from storms. You see, in our passage here, the man who was the wise man, the storm came. And the man who was the foolish man, the storm came. All of us will experience trials and testings of life. It is a part of life. It is a part of living in a broken world. But can I ask you something? Where are you building your house? You see, according to this story, the refuge or the safety was not in the building material. It was in the foundation. Listen, both houses no doubt looked structurally sound. Both houses probably had great comfort. Both houses looked very well. But when the storm came, it revealed, it brought to the surface what was really there. You see, often in life, God uses storms to expose what we really are. It exposes our lack of faith. It exposes things in our life that God deals with. And here the storm comes and it shows which foundation was right. This morning, I want to give you some things that I pray that God can use in our life in a very special way. Number one, I want you to notice the person speaking. Do you know who is speaking in Matthew chapter 7? It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Christ is speaking. In fact, the Bible says in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 7 that He taught them as one having authority. By the way, do you know something? When anybody preaches the Bible, listen, I don't care how they preach the Bible. I just want them to preach the Bible as the Bible is stated. I want them to preach the Bible with authority. And brethren, I have no authority this morning. I have no authority, but when I give forth the Word of God, there is authority there because God's Word will last forever and God's Word has authority. And when Jesus spoke, He had authority. By the way, we live in a world today that is all about this word tolerance. The world wants there to be tolerance. Let's have tolerance. Now, by the way, I believe we should have kindness. I believe that we should be caring and loving and we should be patient with folks. But please hear me out. Some people want to use tolerance as an excuse for an unwillingness to draw the line where the Bible draws the line. You see, God's Word is very clear. It's very clear about marriage. It's very clear about our lifestyle. It's very clear about things that we should not do and things that we should do. And we ought to be God's people that we stand on the authority of the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says, and that is where I stand. You see, often in this age in which we live, they speak of tolerance, but really it's nothing but religious compromise. Many people applaud the ideal of tolerating everything today. But we live in a world that calls evil good and good evil. We live in a world that says what is biblically right, that is wrong. And what is biblically wrong, they say is right. You see, they have changed the truth of God into a lie. And we must understand that Christ here spoke as one having authority. And can I say this to you? All of us men and women and young people here today, we ought to be men and women who know the Word of God, who stay true to the Word of God, and therefore that we stand on the authority of the Word of God. That we are not willing to change. That we are saying, listen, we're going to have compassion. And we are going to have love and we are going to have kindness to those who do not stand on the Bible, but we are not moving from what God's Word teaches. You see, Jesus spoke as one having authority. And by the way, brethren, I pray that you have the heart attitude this morning that by God's grace, I'm going to have the love of Christ in my heart. But I'm going to be a part of God's family that is not going to be ashamed to declare what the Bible clearly teaches. I am very thankful for the privilege to be able to go to Mechanicsburg Middle School every single week. And I get to preach the Word of God to those kids. This week we had 80-something kids that were there. And I'll tell you something, those kids listen. And I think for many of them, they are hearing things that they have never heard before about gender. Do you know the Bible teaches that there's male and female? That's the only two genders in God's Word. But we live in a world of confusion today. And you know what? I'm glad that I can go in. And I'm not saying this is what I think. I am saying this is what God says. This is what the Bible teaches. And young people, if you will follow the Bible, you will build on the right foundation. And church, can I tell you this today? There are lots of foundations that you can build on, but the foundation that goes against the Bible is nothing but sand. It will not withstand the storms and the testings of life. Let us, as God's people, be strong in what we believe. And we need to know what the Word of God teaches. By the way, this is not me preaching my opinion this morning. This is not me preaching today what I think is best and how I think we should live. No, brethren, can I tell you something? I am preaching what the Bible says, and that has clear authority from His Word. And let me say this to you as families. You know, as a family, be strong in your family that you are preaching and teaching. Do you know that all parents preach? They may not preach behind the pulpit, but they preach. And they are teaching. By the way, parents, you are teaching more with your life than you are ever with your lips. You are teaching more with what you look at and what you hear and what you listen to more than what you are ever saying to your kids. And may God help us that in our homes, that we are teaching with authority in our homes, that we are teaching what the Bible has to say. By the way, as we look at this passage here back in Matthew chapter 7, and when the Lord talked about how that there will be many in that day, do you know that really, there are two basically religions today that fall into two categories. One says that Jesus Christ has finished the perfect work of salvation on the cross, and it is done, and we must simply repent and believe. But there is the other group that says that we've got to continue to do things to appease God. We've got to somehow earn our salvation. We've got to do all of these things. But brethren, Jesus clearly says that He is the rock. And by the way, on an application point, He is the only foundation that we can build our lives upon and the only foundation that will last. Christ here is speaking. Number two, not only do we notice the person who is speaking, but I want you to notice the principle that is stated. The principle stated. Matthew 7, verse 24. Let's look at this verse once again. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Now, some people are building on the rock. Now, the rock is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that He is the rock. He is our refuge. Listen, He is the one that we can depend upon. We can trust in Him. But what does it mean for us to build on the rock, which is Christ, and not to build on the sand? Now, what if I were to say this morning, we need to build our lives on the Lord. He is the only foundation. What does that mean? Well, what if I were to say, don't build your life on the sand? It is sinking sand. What does that mean? Well, let's explain it today. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I want us to begin in verse number 11. Now, what does it mean to build your life on the Lord and to build your life on the rock? All of us are building here today. Every young person this morning, they may think that their life really has not begun. That now is just the time just to goof off and do whatever they want to do. And I'm not saying young people should never have fun. I pray they have a lot of fun and they have the right kind of fun. But can I say something? Young people are building right now. You're building. You're building by the things you're looking at. You're building by the things you're reading. You're building by the friends that you have. You're building your house. And many young people build their house on the sand. And guess what? It does not withstand the storms of life. But there are adults here this morning. You're building your life. Every one of us, I am building, my wife is building, my son is building, my children who are in college, they are building. All of us are building. You never stop building. But let me ask you something. Where are you building your house? Is it on a foundation of sand? And you're building it on the changing world, this culture in which we live in, on your philosophy, on what you think, on your wants and wishes? Or are you building on the rock? The rock, which is Jesus Christ. Are you building on the principles of God's Word? Because God states a principle here. Now, what does it mean for us to build our life on Jesus Christ and that He is the only foundation? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we begin in verse number 11. The Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones." Now, that's one type of foundation. Here's the other one. "Wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now, we know there's coming a day when all of God's people will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we will not stand to be judged for our sins because our sins were judged on Calvary when Jesus Christ died for you and me. But God will judge our works, what we did. And you know what? There are some works that are nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. That was the foundation. Wood, hay, and stubble. And the Bible says God will try them by fire. Guess what's going to happen to the wood, hay, and stubble? It is going to burn up. There's going to be nothing there. But some of us are building on a foundation of what the Bible tells us here, that is the right foundation. It is gold, silver, and precious stones. It's the rock. It is secure. We are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And brethren, if you are going to build your life on Jesus Christ, what does that mean? It means that you believe that what He says is final. You believe that what the Bible tells us and declares to us, there is no point of discussion. It is no suggestion. This is the Bible. We believe His words are final. We believe that what He says is forever, and that we believe that what He says will never change. That's what it means to build your life on Jesus Christ, that His word is settled and I am settled on His word. What Jesus has said about every issue of life, I am settled right there. I'm grateful that Aaron and Candace get to adopt this little boy on Monday. It's going to be an exciting day. But you know what? I'm thankful that mom gave the boy up rather than aborting that baby. She could have done that. We live in a world today that thinks that abortion, which is nothing but murder, is okay. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. It's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong. It's not because society says it's right or wrong. We stand where the Bible stands. Now, we should stand in love and compassion. We should not stand in condemnation or in judgment. But we stand where the Bible stands. And if you are building your life on Jesus Christ, you are saying, I believe what the Bible says. And I'm standing where Christ stands. What He says is final. I accept it by faith. I take it. I believe it. And that's the way I'm going to live. That is building your life on Christ. It is taking Him at His word, no matter what the world is saying. It is building your life on the precious Word of God. Folks, the only sure foundation today is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the Word of God will not pass away. Can I tell you something? The truths in this book will last for all of eternity. The truth. This is the truth. Are you building your life on the truth? Now, that means you should be reading the Bible. It means that you should come to church to hear the Word of God taught and hear the Word of God preached, because the principle stated, if we hear the Word of God and we do what it says, we are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, this morning, can I say this to you? You only believe what you do. We may say this morning, well, I believe that, but if you don't obey that, you really don't believe it. You say just with your words that you believe it. In fact, let's take our Bibles, go to James chapter number 1, if you would please. James chapter number 1. Folks, we must build on the rock, and the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, today, in every generation, there are people who are looking for new ideas. Have you ever found that to be true? You know, that's often true in education, where we're looking for new ideas about education. I'm not saying that we should never advance in education, but let me say this to you. Are you just looking for some new ideal? The new ideas of the world today that go contrary to the Bible is nothing but sand. And I pray this morning that God, through the Holy Spirit, will reveal areas of your life where you are building on sand. You're building on sand. You're building on what you think. You're building on what the world says. It's sand. It's not going to last. The foundation, there's no foundation there. It will crumble. You know what? Sometimes we see people and they look so good on the outside. They have Christian cliches that they use. But can I tell you something? They are building their life on a foundation other than Jesus Christ, and that foundation will not last. I went to Bible college, and you know what? I know of young men that I went to school with. Boy, they were winsome. They were good preachers. But you know what? Their life, really, behind the scenes, was not what it was in public. Their private life was not in accordance to the Bible. And can I tell you something? What happened to them, their foundation was built on sand, and the storms came and it fell. And brethren, today we must know you can't keep the storms from coming. You cannot keep the pressures and the trials and the testings of life from coming. But it does matter where you are building your foundation. Are you building it on the Word of God? James chapter 1, I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Now the ideal there is looking into the mirror. Now I am assuming that all of us looked into the mirror before we came to church this morning. But I can tell you this, if you didn't look in the mirror, we all know it, all right? You see, you got to look in the mirror. You wake up in the morning and you go to the mirror and whoa, there's a lot to fix, okay? There's a lot to correct before I step outside this house. You know, construction has begun, all right? Remodeling work has to go place. You understand what I'm saying? But could you imagine looking into the mirror and seeing your hair and your face not appropriate and saying, okay, and walk away? You'd say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. You got to fix this. But brother, it is the same ideal that when we come to the house of God and God deals with us about things in our life, that we should confess and forsake. Things in our life that we should start doing. Faithfulness to God that we should implement into our life. But we hear it and we think that's good. I like that. But if we do not obey, God says, you're building on sand. You're building on a foundation that will not last the test of time. You know, we have people here, even in this service, and I want to kind of, as a pastor, I want to kind of reach out to you in this moment. We've had people that have just come to know Christ as their Savior, and they're here today. God bless them. But you know something? They're building a foundation right now, and the devil would love to get them to build on a foundation of sand. But I pray that they will keep coming to church and stay in the Word of God and stay obedient. And whatever God deals with them about, they will listen and they will do it, because that's how we build on the right foundation. But the last place in your life where you heard what God said to you and you refused to obey it, you started building on an improper foundation. You see, brethren, there's all of us, including myself, that there are things that God continually deals with us. And by the way, it is really hypocritical for us. And it's hypocritical for me to look at this passage of Scripture here in James and back in Matthew and to almost condemn those people for building on the wrong foundation when we will not listen to what God says and obey Him. By the way, can I ask you something? What is in your life right now that God has dealt with you recently about and you have not obeyed Him? You are waiting to a better day. You know, by the way, all of us are good Christians tomorrow. I'm going to begin to live for Christ next year. Next month, I'm going to begin to do it. By the way, do you know New Year's resolutions? Do you know that 92% of New Year's resolutions have already been done away with by this time? I mean, we're at the end of February now. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday in March. 92% of them. You know why? Because it's easy to get started, but it is difficult to be faithful. And what I'm speaking to you about today is God's people hearing the Bible, hearing the Word of God, and not just hearing it, but they're doing it. They're saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Yes, Lord, I will do that. Yes, Lord, I will confess that sin. Yes, Lord, I will remove that from my life. Lord, I will stop doing that because I want to follow you. And when we do that, we build on a good foundation, because the storms are coming. The trials are coming. The tests of life are coming. Listen, life itself has its own set of challenges. Life itself, as we get older especially, there are more things to deal with. But where are you building your house? You see, brethren, the principle is to build your life on the rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ. By the way, do you know that obedience to God is not just simply doing what He says, it's delighting in doing what He says. We have a Christian school here, and I thank the Lord for our teachers and our staff, and God has blessed this Christian school, and it continues to grow, and we thank the Lord for that. But you know what? Sometimes kids don't want to obey. Is that surprising to you? All right? No, it shouldn't be surprising, because the kids we have in our Christian school are just kids, all right? And they need instruction and they need training. And we hope that that's done in home. We hope that's done there because it sure helps things a whole lot better here. But can I tell you something? Sometimes kids do not want to obey. They might do it out of motion or out of just, I got to do this. But if it's not done with a heart of obedience and delighting in doing it, it's not real obedience. Folks, delaying to obey God is disobedience to God. I wonder this morning, are there areas in your life right now where you have failed to obey the Lord? Let's take the matter of tithing. You know, people don't want preachers to talk about that, but it's a biblical principle. I wonder today, I don't know who tithes in this church. I know my family and I do. I don't want to know. But can I tell you something? That's not something I came up with. It's not something the previous pastor came up with. The Lord Jesus Christ instituted the principle of a tithe. 10% of our gross income belongs to the Lord. It's not ours. But are you obeying the Lord? You say, Pastor, you just don't know my finances. I cannot obey. But I'm going to tell you something. You're building on sand. You're building on sand. You're not building in accordance to the Bible. And by the way, obeying the Lord takes faith. Because there's sometimes we think, Lord, I just don't know how I can obey you in this matter. I just don't know how I can live this way. My wife and I will celebrate. I talk about this so much because it's on my heart, all right? We'll celebrate 25 years in July. And I feel I'm so excited about that and happy about that. But we've talked a lot about when we started dating. And can I tell you something? I set principles for us dating that I believe were biblical principles. The first time I kissed my wife was when we kissed at the marriage altar. The first time that I knew any woman in a physical, intimate way was that wedding night with my wife. And I'm going to tell you something. That is so, in our world's ideal, so old-fashioned. It is so far removed. People think that's ridiculous. But I'm going to tell you something. That is what the Bible teaches. That is God's Word. And I'm going to tell you something. That has helped us for 25 years. It has helped us, our marriage. We started on a good foundation. Now we had to keep building that. Building a foundation of love and forgiveness. A foundation of acceptance unconditionally. A foundation of us growing in the Lord and praying together. It has taken a long time and I'm thankful for what God has done because there's been many times in our marriage where I thought, Lord, I don't know how to go on here, but the foundation was right. And brethren, today, maybe you have been building on the wrong foundation. And I've got news for you today. You can come to the Lord and you can ask Him to forgive and cleanse you. And He can do a little demolition work in your life and a little cleanup work. And then from this day forward, you can begin building on the right foundation. Now, by the way, all of us, there are things in all of our lives, in my life, that the Lord often has to say, wait a minute, that's not right. That's a rotten piece of lumber. That's got to come out. And we got to put the right foundation in there. We've got to put the right thing there. Hey, listen, there's a crack in your foundation and we've got to deal with that. Oh, listen, folks, let us build on the right foundation. Let us build in obedience and hearing and doing. We see the person speaking, the principle stated. Number three, the last thing this morning, the promise made. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7, would you please? And Matthew chapter 7, I love the promise made. And by the way, sometimes in our eagerness to give people good counsel, sometimes I think we hurt them. And we don't give good counsel. Sometimes we tell people, hey, just come to church. Get in Sunday school, join the choir, and get involved. Do something. There's a part of that it is the truth. But what we really need to say is, how's your relationship and your fellowship with Jesus Christ? Are you knowing Him and loving Him and then doing what He says for you to do? You know, there is a part of me coming to a church to be the pastor of the church. It took time before the church, in a sense, would love the pastor and before the pastor would love them because we had to get to know one another. We had to learn to trust one another. And I pray that now that has helped both of us so that I am preaching the truth and you are hearing the truth and obeying as God leads you in that truth. But the relationship has to be right. Parents, you know something, when you deal with your children, they've got to know that you love them before you can ever reprove them. because they won't accept the reproof. And you know something, often in life, we don't understand the Lord, and therefore we're not willing to obey the Lord. So folks, can I tell you, the foundation is Jesus Christ. It is loving Him. It is knowing Jesus. It is walking with Jesus. And when we know how much He loves us and how much He cares for us, then we will want to obey Him. You see, the principle stated here and the person speaking brings us to the promise made. What is the promise? Matthew 7:24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house." Look here, here's the promise. "And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Do you know the promise is this? If we will build our house, our lives, on the rock, Jesus Christ, what He teaches us, to take Him at His word, to obey Him, to follow Him, the Bible says it will not fall. But can I tell you, the flip side of that promise is if you build on the sand, it will fall. Brethren, all of us today are sowing things in our life. Now, in the next probably 6 to 8 weeks, farmers are going to be in their fields planting. Many of you are farmers and you're going to be busy planting. You're already preparing to plant. You're planting seed that the next day is not going to come up for a crop. It's going to take months. It's going to take a lot of water and a lot of nutrients. It's going to take the sunshine. It's going to take a lot. But the harvest will come. You will reap a harvest if you sow the seed. All of us are sowing something today. By the way, as we hear and obey and build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, that foundation will last. You know, there's people in our church that have been here for many, many years. And I thank God for all of you. But how do you stay faithful for all those years? You build on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. But why is it that some people, boy, they get in church. Man, they're going to serve the Lord. And then the next thing you know, they're gone. It's not that they went to another church. It's they're gone. They don't go to church anymore. They do not follow the Lord anymore because they did not build on the right foundation. It was a foundation of sand. And may God help us this morning. Where is there sand in your life that needs to be removed? Where is there sand right now? Are there books that you're reading? You've got to stop reading that because that is not the right foundation. Are there images that you're putting into your eyes that you're looking at? You are building on a sand foundation. Are there friendships that you have today? And it's not the friendships that's encouraging you to live for Christ. It's the wrong friendship. Listen, you've got to forsake that friendship and follow Jesus as the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You see, brethren, there are things in all of our life, in my life, that we need to say, God, show me the sand. Show me the areas of my life that are not built on truth, but it's built on feelings. It's built on the culture. It's built on the changing ideals of this world. You see, the promise that is made is that it did not fall. The wise man built his house on the rock, and it did not fall. By the way, there's often so much stumbling in life. There's so much slipping and we get off track sometimes. But God says that we are not going to fall. And can I say this to you? And I use myself as an illustration this morning. There's been times when I have slipped. There's been times when I have stumbled in my Christian life. Maybe because of bitterness that's entered my heart. Maybe because of areas that I'm not willing to give up. I want to hide and hold on to my sin. And I stumble and I'm slipping. But can I tell you, the foundation is on Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, the Lord begins to deal. Now, if I obey and if I do, then the foundation will stand. But if I hear and I disobey, then that foundation will crumble. Folks, if a person is not willing to do what God desires, I'm going to tell you this, you can try to tell him all you want, but he is going to keep falling and falling and falling. A person can be bailed out 100 times for their lifestyle that they are living. But until that person is willing to obey Christ and willing to follow Christ, he is never going to build on the rock. Now, in closing this morning, the storms are coming. You don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming. I do not know the trials that are coming to your life. I don't know what's coming to my wife, what's coming to me, what's coming to my children. But there's coming. We all deal with storms. You cannot escape that. Folks, they come to all people. But can I encourage you today, be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. Now, listen to me closely, because I think we may think this morning, Pastor, I am hearing and I am doing, preacher, but it doesn't seem like it's worth it. Folks, that is where we have to have faith in the unseen God and the unseen hand of God, that He is working all things together for our good. He is sovereign. He is in control. The King's heart is in the hand of the Lord. We can trust our Heavenly Father. He sees our obedience. He sees our heart to follow after Him. He sees it. But brethren, there might be some things this morning that you think, Pastor, this is impossible. It's impossible for me. But can I just encourage you with this? We need to realize that it is not up to us for the foundation. I'm talking about for the finished product. Folks, it is us. It is up to us to simply obey the Lord, and He will build the foundation. You see, this morning, sometimes we think it's all on us. No, it's not. Our dependence is on Jesus. Listen, I didn't get saved by good works. I didn't get saved by something that I did. I put my faith, my dependence on what Jesus did. He went to the cross. He died for me. He shed His blood for me. He was buried and He rose again the third day. That is my dependence. But folks, the Christian life is the same. I am to hear, I am to obey, and He will take care of everything else. He will build the right kind of foundation. Maybe you say this morning, Pastor, I just can't. I just can't, Pastor. Folks, you don't have to. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I will obey. And you take that first step of obedience. And when you take the first step of obedience, the Lord will begin the building process. Brethren, today, it is not, you need to get your life in order. That's not the message. The message is you need to clean up all the things in your life. No, the message is simply this. What is God speaking to you about this morning? What is the first step of obedience that you need to take in your life today? It could be that you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the first step. You understand that Jesus is the only way. You come to Him in faith. Maybe this morning you've never been baptized by what the Bible teaches, baptism by immersion. That needs to be your first step. Maybe it's that you're not in the Bible. You neglect God's Word and God's dealing with you about it. That's where you need to start. Maybe it's the matter of sin in your life and you know you have hidden, unconfessed sin. Today, deal there. And brethren, when you begin to obey, let me tell you what happens. God begins to do the work and building on the rock. Each of us is standing in front of something this very moment. It may seem impossible. It may seem that I just can't forgive them. I just can't love them. No, if you'll obey, then God will enable you to do what you could never do in your own strength. Brethren, this morning, where are you building your house? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, my heart is stirred today. Lord, I don't know the hearts of these dear people. I can only see, Lord, their life on this end, but You know their hearts. Lord, You see the foundation. And I pray today that You will speak to us and that we will obey. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one is looking around. And I want to ask you a question. How many would say this morning, Preacher, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know that if I died today, I know that I'd go to heaven to be with the Lord. As a testimony, would you just lift your hand and hold it high? That's me, preacher. I know the Lord. Amen. Thank you. May I put your hands down? But how many could not raise your hand? You say, preacher, would you pray for me? I do not know where I'd go if I died today. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, and no one is looking. But would you be that person to say, Pastor, I don't know where I'd go if I died. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it high? Pray for me, preacher. I don't know where I'd go if I died today. Pray for me. Now I want to ask you a question. How many would say, Pastor, there's something in my life right now. I know. I've heard it. But I need to obey what God is doing in my heart right now. There's an area in my life. It might be some confession and forsaking of sin. It might be some act of obedience. But you know God has spoken to you and you need to obey. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. That's all over this building. Well, today, your response is everything. I can't make you obey. And God's not going to make you obey. But today, would you find a place at this altar? And would you tell the Lord whatever it is that He's put on your heart? Then you will begin to build on the right foundation. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's finish this prayer and then I'm going to ask you to come. Father, we love You. We love Your Word. Lord, the picture that we find in the Word of God is so clear and plain. You spoke with authority. Lord, may we listen. You gave us this principle and it's a biblical principle. And Lord, You gave us a promise. Lord, may we fulfill this promise. Lord, my heart aches every time someone does not build on the right foundation and the house crumbles. Oh God, would You do a work today where we would turn to You and we would allow Your work in our heart and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and let's go to hymn number 476. Is Your All on the Altar? Today, Lord has dealt with you. You just put the hymn book down and find a place to meet with God. Give Him, tell Him what He's spoken to you about and obey Him from this moment. Let's sing it together. Hymn number 476, Brother Stevenson's coming. Tonight, I'm going to finish the message. Tonight, I'm preaching out of the same passage, and I'm going to preach on build a strong foundation. And how do we build? And I pray that you can be here tonight at 6 o'clock, right in your place, and we'll ask the Lord to help us. Now, my wife and I are going to be in the back. We'd love to shake your hand, but we're going to do what we did last week. We're going to start doing this. If you're visiting today, as soon as I begin to pray, you can leave. And we'd like to shake your hand in the hallway, all right? Because sometimes we have a lot of people and we don't get to see the visitors. And we'd love to see you. So if you're visiting today, first time to be here, please, you kind of follow us out the door. And we just love to shake your hand. You get to the restaurant before anybody else, all right? And so that's one of the perks, all right, of coming here. And I pray you'll be here tonight. We'll have a great service together. And we'll continue this message. Brother Stevenson.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us, and we thank you for the sermon. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to build our life on the things that will last, on your word and the truths of it, the doctrines of it. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't add anything from the world and this world society, Lord, but we would stay firm upon your word. Lord, we thank you for what your word does and convicts and convinces of sin. But Lord, I pray that we would take what we've heard and have been convicted this morning, and we would apply it to our lives. And Lord, may we grow in you. Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.